Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, I got a story to tell. Sister Stinger, first lady, only lady, lovely wife, Sheila, our only lady. Amen.
Amen.
The officers here, deacons, deaconess, trustees, and the like to this choir. Amen. Has done a beautiful job. Our musicians. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. My fellow sufferers in the gospel. Each of you God's children. My son. He's here with me from school. Amen.
Amen.
He came home to see me. I know he came to see his mama too.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. My other son who is out doing this thing, I'll see him later on today. Amen.
Amen.
It's so good to be with you on today.
Amen.
To be able to share a word and be in the midst of God's people to hear a word from the Lord.
Yes.
Matthew, the 5th chapter. And the 20th verse. I'll get to that together thing in a minute. It begins reading, and I'm reading to you from the King James Version.
Praise the Lord.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness, now look at what Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven.
All right.
Now he sets up a requirement for performance that unless you do better than them, there's no way you can get to heaven.
Amen.
Now what I like about God is he never asks or tells us to do something that he doesn't make it clear what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So let's read further. You have heard that it has been said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, without a cause, shall it be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. 27th verse. Ye have heard it is been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever shall look on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in her heart. Y'all don't get nervous. I'm just reading the Bible. 31st verse. Let's go to 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writ writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Let's go to verse 33. Again, ye have heard it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for is God's throne, neither by earth, for his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, whatsoever more of these cometh of evil. Let's go to verse number 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. Let's go to verse number 43. You have heard it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But ye be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. We thank you, Lord, for sitting high and looking low.
Yes, God.
We thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and to be able to receive a word from you.
Yes, God.
I'm just a messenger, Lord, standing in need of your word. When I read your word, when you said you would send forth your word to the earth, but not return it to you void. We receive your word right now. Open up our eyes and we can see. Our ears and we can hear, our hearts and we can understand. timing so deep, Lord, within the curse of your cross, behind it, to not be seen, but only you, and you get the glory.
Yes.
This is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So I wrestled with the message, you know, when you are impregnated with the word, those who know what I'm talking about, that's why they call it delivering a message. You have sometimes several of these coming at you at one time, and I was going to come and talk about launching out into the deep, nevertheless, period. Or remember who you are. But God sent me back to one of old and said, go back and revisit this passage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going back to revisit the passage in a different way. As the brethren said, oh, this is going to be a new thing, amen?
Yes,
but I want to use the old topic. Is that I know what you heard, but what did I say?
Mm-hmm.
Turn it into neighbor.
Yeah.
I know what you heard.
I know what you heard.
But what did God say?
What did God say?
Turn it into neighbor.
Neighbor.
I know what you heard.
I know what you heard.
God said, that's a lot to be said right there. You know, we just check ourselves on what we've heard.
Yeah.
What did God say? I know what you heard. Look in our passage. You see here in our passage we're dealing with stuff that's being said, and Jesus is checking the record. When I was growing up, grown folks told you something to do one time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Step a little bit on it.
Yes, sir. It's all right. It's all right.
If they told you, if you didn't act right away,
yeah,
they would not repeat what they said. They would say something like, what did I say?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right.
When I was growing up, I would say to my mama, I would ask my mama something, and she would give me an answer. And if I didn't like the answer, if by chance I didn't, I forgot what her answer was, if I asked her again, and she would promptly tell me again, what did I say? I don't know what they didn't like to repeat stuff or what. This old school, it was talking about them not wanting to go over. Now, should I take the risk of life, limb, and my already limited opportunities and interpret what my mama said incorrectly and proceed to do the wrong thing? As she was leading out the corresponding punishment, as I would call like the Peterson-like beating, y'all get in a minute, she would say, what, as she's beating me, what did I tell you to do?
Yes, sir.
I don't know why.
Yes, sir.
She found syllables and words when she was thanking me that were not necessarily in words when she wrote it. Just don't spell the words to me. Just say it and get on with it.
Why?
I believe because, see, what you hear matters.
Yes.
See, if you're not listening when someone is telling you something and you managed to take an action that was not consistent with what they were telling you, Jesus had already and has already told us what to do.
Uh-huh.
But we have sought guidance and instruction and from people that would give us the answers we want to hear that's oftentimes inconsistent with what Jesus told us to do.
Yeah.
The problem is what we hear matters, and as a result of that, we're doing things that's not consistent with what God would have us do.
Yeah.
In our passage, 6 times, Jesus rejects the tradition of the Pharisees by saying, you have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you.
Yeah.
Jesus contrasts what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were saying to the people of God and let them know what the intent of the law was.
All right.
See, you're reading the letter. You know what the words on the pages say, but do you know what the words on the pages mean?
Yeah.
In verse 20, I'll start in verse, he clearly states that the Pharisee or Pharisaic righteousness, the outward observance of ceremonial and traditional law, sacrificing, fasting, and fighting, it wasn't enough to get you entrance into the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Some of us think that by doing stuff,
it gives
us a right of passage. It makes me better than you, but Jesus said in Matthew 5, but I say, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thinking about this for a minute, what's happening here? Jesus has taken the religious leaders of his time and called their teaching into question.
Mm-hmm.
This was a bold move. I need you to see that this was a bold move because these were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. However, when you consider the impact of what they were saying to the people, because what they said called the people to take an act, it was important that Jesus step in and change the game. See, some of us are going because somebody said, we can tell you that the Bible emphasizes, first of all, that what you hear matters. It lets us know that we got to understand what's going inside your ear, into your head, into your brain, into your heart matters because it controls your action. Some of y'all used to like me. Some of y'all heard about me.
All right now.
I don't know who told you. I use me, but I hope it's not me. The impact, Jesus said, he said in Romans 10:14, he said, the Bible emphasized the importance of hearing when he said, how then shall they call upon whom they not believe? Mm-hmm. How shall they believe on whom they have not heard?
Yeah.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Let me
go further. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let me go further. Revelation 1:13-8 said, if any man have an ear, let him hear.
Yeah.
It's important that you hear
what
God is telling you today.
See,
because if you understand, what you hear is going to cause an action. Jesus knew that what we hear not only impacts what we say, but it determines what we do, how we behave. This being the case, I believe Jesus' statement, while Jesus was omniscient and omnipotent, I don't believe it was the leaning on his omni-anything that caused him to see this and have to speak to it. I believe he was looking at, from the natural, what people were doing. And it all caused him to say, wait a minute, I need to address this because people are doing things that they have heard.
All right now. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
See, most of us are doing stuff that we've heard.
Yeah.
You bring your traditions, that's because somebody told you.
Yeah. All right now.
It's what you are. What you hear determines what you do. It determines your, hence the power of the media. The TV, the radio, the web, the internet.
Amen.
You got to watch what you put into your...
Amen.
Yeah, y'all feel me?
Amen.
Watch what you put in. It's important what we hear. The second thing we need to know, who says what you hear is important as well.
Yeah.
Remember, they were the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the ones speaking. So who says what you hear? We tend to believe things we hear from people who are in authority. People we respect, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes we do so without confirmation. I retort to why something is true too often is because so and so said so.
All right.
99% of the things we believe are based on someone who said it in authority. For example, I believe that there's a place called Africa. I've not been to Africa, but somebody told me it exists.
All right. Mm-hmm.
They even showed me on the map.
Yeah.
Pastor's been there, he said. I have to believe it exists.
He said.
Because someone in authority told me it exists.
Yeah.
I believe man has walked on the moon. I have no empirical evidence to support this way or that way, but I've been told that it exists, and I believe it's been done. Much of what we believe is based on reliable people who have told us so. Think about it. The ordinary person believes that there's a solar system. That there's an atom, that there's we have a central nervous system, that the circulation of the circulation of blood, we believe it based on authority. We have no proof, but someone told us. As a result, we accept it. Almost every historical statement is believed on authority. None of us saw the discovery of America. Who signed the Declaration of Independence? Who crafted the Emancipation Proclamation? Or who wrote the Bill of Rights? But we believe, based on some authority, that has been done, and who did it. None of us saw Christopher Columbus depart Spain, seeking passage in Asia, to which he left with the fleet, with the Nina, the Pinta, the North of Santa Maria, but we believe it because somebody told us so. Right? Our anthology, our anthropology, our genealogy, kinesiology, phraseology, psychology, scientology, gerontology, and theology is based on what we have heard from somebody else. In authority. We believe because our parents said so, theologians said so, scientists said so, mathematicians said so, teachers said so, preachers said so, mentors said so, sponsors said so, leaders said so. We believe so because somebody said so. Mama said there'll be days like this.
Yes, sir.
There'll be days.
Yes, sir.
Mama said it. I believe it.
Yeah.
Why? Because Mama said it.
Mama said it.
When was the last time I asked you a question? When was the last time you stopped to think about what you believe and why you believe the things you believe? When was the last time you questioned the basis of your belief? what you do and why you do what you do. We tend not to spend a whole lot of time. Now, the scary part is this. Get this one. We live in an information age. This time of history, we're suffering from what we call information overload. The information is coming in such speed faster than anyone can hope to or keep up or even process. And unfortunately, we do so and we accept this information without any documentation or investigation of the sources. As a result, people are defying the existence of God, adopting alternative lifestyles, defaming folks' character, stealing identities, making lies of the truth, because no proof of sourcing is necessary. If it's on the internet, it must be true. Now, I'm going to just bring it a little bit closer. Commercial advertisements, marketing schemes are crafted and created, structured around our tendency to make choices based on who says what. Now, come on now. Do you honestly believe that Tiger Woods drives a Buick? That Peyton Manning plays Xbox Live? That Bill Cosby eats Jell-O pudding? That Drake drinks Sprite? That Donovan McNabb eats Campbell's soup, or that LeBron James, the face of the NBA, eats McDonald's? Please. Come on, man. We believe it because it comes from somebody in authority. And they're using that and leveraging and causing us to go out and do things because they're using folks in authority to bring it to us. And as a result, people are doing it without question. Next point. We should question. I want you to stop with all that and start to question what you hear. Because Jesus says to them, he said, I know what you heard. But this is what I say. In other words, I need you to question. Whether you're reading a book like the Da Vinci Code, studying the annals of history, listening to a sermon like What Did I Say? Reading a tract on salvation. I wanted to see if y'all were listening. Reading a tract on salvation, watching the news, or listening to your own and your most trusted friend share a recent rumor on some good gossip, you need to do so with some discernment, some hint of paranoia, some suspicion, some distrust, with a question in mind. Question, I'm going to ask you the question there. Remember those wearing the titles and sitting in the high seat, those in the thought are the ones who are easily deceived, and we are easily deceived by. So we need to question. Watch, the Bible says, watch and pray. Let me give you some scripture here so you can help you out a little bit. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried with every wind and doctrine by the sight of men and the kind of craftiness whereby they wait to deceive. You know, there's some people out there that don't mean you good. And if you just like the way they dress or the way they talk, the way they look or the way they sound, then you might get caught up in the hype and get twisted around. He said, now wait a minute, don't be children, grow up. Grown folks question stuff. Kids are questioning stuff nowadays. Sometimes they shouldn't, but they do. Paul said, grow up. In 1 John 4:1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. There are people out there who are using the word. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
That don't mean that they're of God. Just because they use a scripture. Some of the best books in the world are scripturally based. Don't even refer to the scripture. I'll leave it at that. In our text, it was the scribes and Pharisees, the high priests, that they were dedicated to studying the scripture, who they promulgated incorrect and inaccurate information about the scripture. These were the ones who had studied the word, were giving out incorrect information about the word. In our text, the scribes and the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders of the time, were called into question and called on the carpet by Jesus. Jesus was seeing how the people behaved, what the people did, how the people followed what the scribes and Pharisees were saying, and he corrected their erroneous teaching by calling them into question. I know what you heard, but this is what I say. Jesus knew that in order for the people to do the right thing, he had to address what they had heard. He had to address and quiet the noise that was in the message. Follow me for a minute. You see, in order to get a message to a messenger, you need to clear up the mess for the ages. See, something, let me make that a little plain, because see, the mess for the age, somebody got to get the noise out, the mess out of it, and the age, because sometimes you got to understand it's age by age, I mean age by age, you got to remember age specific, and also the age is the time. Times are different now than they were when we grow up.
Come on, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's stop thinking kids going to hear stuff that we, I like the hymns. We just don't sing them as often we used to, right? Let's go with that for a minute.
Yeah.
So we got to understand, we got to adjust. Sometimes we got to be adjusted so that people can hear it. And in communication, there's a sender and there's a receiver. There's an encoder and there's a decoder. And this would be a perfectly symbiotic relationship if it wasn't for the noise in between. See, if we didn't bring all this stuff to the table when we're talking, then you would actually hear what I'm saying.
Right now, if
we could just all be on stage, I'd be talking to you, you listening, that type of thing, then all of a sudden we could be clear if you didn't bring all Saturday night with you.
Preach.
You can bring all that stuff.
Yeah.
Folks, somebody hurt your feeling and done looked at you the wrong way, and you got all that stuff going on. You didn't hear half of what I'm saying, because all this stuff going on in your head. That's what you heard.
Right.
We really would have a conversation if we could get some of the noise. If we had been taught the wrong things for so long, doing the right thing wouldn't have been so hard to do. If we hadn't been doing it wrong for so long, I mean, but just since I've been doing it this way, you trying to retrain me? I'm too old to be retrained. Y'all might as well say amen. Y'all are too young to be retrained. Don't want to be coached. Don't want to be taught nothing. I know everything already. You know you can't teach anybody something when they know everything already. You saying that word wrong, but I can't help you because you don't want to be helped. You figure you're saying it right. It sounds right to you when you said it. No, it sounds wrong to me when you said it. And we had heard the wrong interpretation of the scripture. If we had not heard the wrong interpretation of the scripture, hearing and doing what the scripture said would not be so difficult. But we've heard the wrong thing. But when you've heard things and been doing the thing wrong for 100 years, if it's wrong, it may be wrong, but it's right to you. Because you've been doing it wrong for so long.
Yeah.
So wrong has become right.
Yep.
Y'all follow me?
Amen.
We got to start to question what we believe. Let me show you something Jesus did. Jesus knew that the scribes and the Pharisees, the premise of their approach in the scripture was errant. He knew they were wrong. He said, but they approached it, the scripture, get this, from the basis of a scholar, not as a believer. See, the scriptures are not there to make you a scholar, but to make you a Christian. Let me get it again. The scripture is not there to make you a scholar, but to make you a student. Let me make it plain. It's not there to make you a scholar, but to make you a disciple. It's not there to make you a scholar, but to make you a follower. The scripture is there not to make you chief, but to make you servant.
Second Timothy
tells us all scripture.
Are
given by inspiration to God.
Yes, sir.
Profitable doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
The more I learn, the less I know. The more I learn, the less I know.
My God.
If I never attempted to know how to play the piano, then I wouldn't know how much I didn't know about the piano. But the moment I picked up the notes on how to play the piano, I realized there's a whole lot I don't know. We need to spend more time in the Word, because once you pick it up and start studying, you start to realize there's a whole lot I don't know.
Talking about.
They thought they knew. You heard him in Matthew 12 chapter. He said, have you read in the law? He called me questioning in Matthew 22. He said, have you read what was spoken by the word of God?
Yes.
He called me questioning in Mark 12 and he said, have you even read the scripture?
Yes.
Go ahead, Jim, sure. He said in Mark 12 and 20, have you read the book of Moses?
Yes.
And he questioned whether they really knew what they were talking about.
Right now,
see, sometimes if you really want to know what somebody know, ask them a question. From the premise of knowledge, of course. Jesus cut right through the center of their self-righteous pride and demonstrated time and again that very publicly so that they were arrogant and ignorant of what they were really talking about. They thought they know it sounded good. You know how some people got the gift of gab? Man, they can sell snow to an Eskimo.
Yes, sir.
And know he doesn't need any more. I know it more.
That's all right.
But here, Jesus said, it ain't about your gab.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It ain't about your gift of gab. It's about really understanding and knowing. Get the fact. In our text, we find Jesus with the people that were living out there, all kind of lives. He had mercy on the Pharisees. He said, I need to call you into question. I need to set the record. He says to them, he said, look here, I know what you've heard, but here's what I have to say. And so doing, he clearly demonstrates, puts himself as the ultimate authority on the scripture. He said, I am the fact.
Yeah.
I am the final and conclusive truth. That's fact. That's an acronym for fact. I'm the final and conclusive truth. I am the fact. He puts himself in the position. He takes up the righteous, the commandments that he said he deals with one of them because he understands that they are so out of cycle, the things that they're supposed to be doing as it relates to one another, they're not even accomplishing that. How is it that you call yourself a child of God or one of his Christian and you can't even fulfill one section of the Ten Commandments, one of the ones that deal with the people that you're dealing with every day? I'm not talking about the one that deal with God, but I'm just talking about the one that deal with the people you deal with every day.
Yeah,
well, can we deal with that for a minute? He opens it up. He begins to say, you know what he said then applies to us today.
Amen.
It's as relevant today, as pertinent today as it was when Jesus said,
amen.
Let me back myself. First thing he said in verse 9, first verse, he said, do not murder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. Say, don't murder. Don't take somebody's life.
Yeah.
He said, but I say of you, it's more than the act. Is also the internal attitude behind the act.
Yeah. Yes,
of course, murder is wrong, but the anger prompting the act is wrong.
Yes.
Right. So it ain't just about murdering somebody. Yes. It's about getting to a place where you would even think about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes sir.
Y'all, anybody get that?
Got it.
Yes. Some of us ain't never killed nobody, but we've been wrong right here.
Yes, sir.
Y'all follow me?
Yes.
Some of us have never taken out the gun and shot them, but we wanted to. We sure thought about it.
Yes, sir.
We meditated on it. We just couldn't figure out if we knew we'd do the crime, we're going to do the time, and it was just the time didn't fit right.
Yeah.
He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't have sexual union with someone else's wife. He said, but I say unto you, adultery begins with one's heart looking lustfully, and following is the act.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, lustful desire in the heart is as wrong as the act.
Yeah.
Do I need to deal with that? Do I need to deal with that?
Yeah.
Going to deal with that?
Go ahead.
That's clear enough. It ain't about doing it. It's about thinking about doing it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You can put away your wife. Number three, you can put away your wife by giving her a right of divorce. But Jesus said, but I tell you, marriage should not be terminated by divorce.
Yeah, that's right.
You got all kind of excuses on why. Why are you married?
Yeah.
You get married to stay together.
Yeah.
We get too many excuses. We go in, coming out. Don't do it. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform what the Lord, that thou said the Lord an oath. He said, but I say unto you, do not swear at all. In other words, your life should be sufficient to back up your word. A yes should always mean yes, and a no should mean no. Why all the conditions? Why you gotta say, I promise I'm gonna do it if you know, I promise on the stack of the Bibles. You know on the stack of Bibles. What you gotta do with it? Why you need all that? Just do what you say you're gonna do.
Amen.
And we used to do crazy stuff when we were kids. Man, we come up with some real promises. Boy, we promised a farm that we didn't own, huh? And he said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Yes, sir.
Lex talionis, the law of retaliation. But I say unto you, while it's right for the innocent who were persecuted by law, the righteous need not necessarily claim this right. A righteous man would be characterized by humility and selflessness, meaning that it's all right to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody slap you on the right cheek, turn the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a right to stop them too. I mean, eye for eye says you can do that too. They do it to you, you do it to them. But you know, we're gonna have a whole keep of the congregation around here. Everybody gonna let them know. No, nobody gonna have teeth. Ain't nobody eat chicken. Somebody gotta have sense enough to let somebody eat chicken.
Yeah.
It's been fried. We need to eat. Y'all say love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say love your enemies, but bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you,
yes.
And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Like God, make the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Love everybody.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I love that one. However, I would love us to love us.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Come on.
Now, I'm not going to limit that. We need to love
yes.
everybody.
Yes.
But what's so
right.
hard about loving somebody already of the household?
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be easy.
Yeah.
The other part is on the outside.
That's
going on. They ought to be able to see how Jesus said in the house that they know that you're my disciple, that you love one another.
Yeah.
You ought to be loving on each other so much, you ought to be going, ooh, I need to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're going to come in and find out your dirt the first day they show up on the job. How you going to walk into church the first day and know everything that's going on in the church?
Mm.
We got to be more covert.
Lord, that's first. Yeah.
Woo!
Did I say covert?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I did. I let it
slip out.
Free. CIA term. It slips out every now and then. Verse 48. Jesus concludes our text by saying, be ye therefore perfect, even if your heavenly Father is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds us that God is the standard of righteousness, that we are to live by his standard, that God is, again, the FACT,
yes.
the final and conclusive truth. The standard has not changed. God is still the fact.
Yes.
God is still the same God. He is still required. He still requires that we live our lives according to his standard and not according to our own.
Right.
He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. John 1 and 1. He had to understand that if we love the Lord, we're going to follow his Word.
Yes.
Because his Word represents him. Now, you need to know what his Word says, but once you know what it said, then doing what it said is a requirement because that he is the fact. You can't follow somebody else and say you're a follower of Christ. You got to be following Christ. Makes sense. Just makes sense. On John 14 and 23 said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He said, now I'm going to set it up for you. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he comes from the Father, who shall send in my name, he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The nice thing is about when we have the Holy Spirit in us, God has a way of bringing that word back up in us at just the right time. I don't know if you've ever gone through anything and you needed a word. And just at that time, the scripture you ain't read in 10 years shows up clearly. Just in time to encourage your heart. That's the kind of God that we serve. He even said, well, Jesus, I got you so tight. This one's in Matthew 10, chapter 18, 21. He said, I got you so tight. He said, I tell you what, when they call you up and they get ready to take you out, he said, take no thought. How what you shall speak. It shall be given you in that hour what you shall speak. Isn't that a wonderful God that we serve?
Yeah.
That's going to give us what we need when we need it. He knew that there was going to come a time that we're going to need to be able to call on the Lord, and the Lord's going to be right there to give us a word to encourage us. But church, if we're going to be the effective, overcoming, powerful people of God that he wants us to be, we've got to filter what we hear and ensure that it's in line with what God said. We've got to ensure that it is the fact. What is that? The final and conclusive truth. We got to understand that we got to hear what God said and not what somebody said. There's always somebody. There's a song that came to mind. There's always somebody talking about me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't mind.
That's right.
We're trying to stop and block my progress.
Yes, sir.
Most of the time. Those mean things they say don't make me feel bad.
Come on, son.
And I never had.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know that one?
Yes, sir.
This is the time. We need to understand what the truth said and what are the facts. I know that people have been lying on you and talking about you and calling you everything but a child of God. But here's the fact. But he said, but I say unto you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. See, I know what that you heard, that you can't do it, that it's too hard. But I say, Jesus said unto you, that those things that seem impossible with man are possible with God. I know what you heard, that you're going to get tired, that people are going to wear you out. But I say unto you, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. have gone and not been weary. And have walked and not faint. I know that you have heard. You heard your dollar holler. You heard your money was funny. You came for strength. But I stand in you. The earth is the Lord. And you prove that they are. The world and day is very old. Count on a thousand years. You belong to the Lord. I know I heard you. You heard the sound of defeat that you've lost, that it's over, that you can't make it. But I say unto you, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I say to you, you're more than a conqueror. I say more than a conqueror. You're more than I heard. I know you heard that there's no use in trying, that they make those sisters work so hard and get nothing in return. But I say to you, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord.
Because we serve an awesome God. There's nothing to